Hello, 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 and welcome. This is Talk the Plank, episode 59 of Pittsburgh Pirates Podcast on SB Nation's Bucks Dugout. I'm Nathan Hirsch, joined by Jake Slobodnik. Jake, did you have a nice Easter?
I absolutely did, man. Got to visit some family, some friends, and devoured some nice food. So it was a good Easter all around. How was yours?
Same thing, visited the family, ate a bunch of ham, some potato salad,
oh, yeah.
This and that, and yeah, it was a pretty solid day. Watched a Buccos win, and some basketball as well, some NBA playoffs, but all in all, a pretty solid day, and excited to talk about the over 500 Pirates. What happened this week? The Pirates are winning games.
I don't know. I think it's. I think Derek Shelton's in his office right now, crying into his hands because he doesn't want this. But
already,
but like, oh yeah. Well, I'm coming in hot because this was a really good series win for the Pirates. Not only is it against a stacked team on paper such as the Nationals, but it's an NL East foe, and that's arguably, I would say, the most competitive division in baseball right now. And to take three of four from them, granted they're all come from behind wins, but wins nonetheless. I would say this has been a really good weekend, and no matter what Derek Shelton did to put out an awful starting nine, the Pirates overcame it. As our one King Ben Gamble would say, they're just a bunch of guys going out there playing ball, having fun, and it proved this weekend. They took three of four from the Nationals, got above 500 for probably the only time this season, and ended the homestand on a 4-2 note, and I will take that any day, really, no matter if it's early, late, or in the middle of the season.
Yeah, last week when we talked, I was kind of hoping that they could go 500 against these not super great teams in Chicago and Washington, but yeah, they went 4-2. 5-4 on the season. How about the offense? They've been scoring some runs in this series. 9 runs, only 2 in the loss, but then 6 and 5 Saturday and Sunday, respectively. And the pitching it's a little suspect. It is, especially the starting pitching. The starting pitching is flat out. It's atrocious. There's really no other word for it. But the bullpen has been pretty solid. The offense has been scoring enough runs, even though there's still not a ton of power on this team, but they found ways to string together hits and get on base, draw some walks, and get the timely hits as they did in the Sunday game. And the defense, I think, though, has been just absolutely unreal. You know, even without Ke'Bryan Hayes today, the Sunday game, I mean, Michael Chavis stepped in at third base, was awesome. We all saw the super awesome relay throw from Gamble to Diego Castillo, who looked pretty solid at shortstop today, to Roberto Perez. The defense has been awesome. The bullpen has been pretty solid, and the hitting's been good enough. So, you know, I like you. I'm not sure if they will be above 500 for much longer, but after that first series, when they just looked like a zombie dead team in St. Louis in those first two games of the year, I'm a little encouraged. And I think I said 69 wins before the season. I think that's doable. And who knows? Maybe they'll surprise us and be lit. 1/16th of the season in, we're looking okay.
Yeah, we are. We really are. And I mean, it's so intriguing with this group of players because, like you said, they're not the greatest guys in the world, but they're finding ways to get things done. Even the guys who aren't really successful, the Josh Van Meters of the lineup and him specifically, they haven't really done much all season long, but they know how to come up in key situations, and that's just one of the elements it takes to win ball games. Like, you can rack up the hits column, but as long as if you're not driving in those runs, then those hits are meaningless. But whereas this week, it really taught us that the Pirates, they can hit and drive in runs in key scenarios. And, you know, the bullpen remains stout. You know, I think there's a few names in particular that we need to break down just because of their contributions, even including the elephant in the room, Michael Chavis. What a homestand that he had. Especially yesterday and today, going a combined 5 for 8 with a pair of RBIs, a couple extra base hits in those few games. He played his heart out, and obviously, honestly, he's impressing me, especially considering he had such a poor spring training. I don't know what he did, but he's flipping the script on all of us. He's looking like an all-around everyday player. He's, to me, making that shift, and this is very early, so I guess this is a way too early prediction, but if he keeps playing the way he is, he's going to go from a quad A player who the Pirates took a flyer on last year to a very solid everyday MLB player. And I mean, he's got the speed. His hitting has come around. Fielding today, when we talk about how the Pirates should clone Ke Bryan Hayes, well, they kind of did that with Chavis today. Made a spectacular diving stop at third, took away possibly another run for the Nationals. And if that's the case, it could have changed the whole trajectory of the game. Ben Gamel's another one. His elite defense yesterday, his clutch hitting today. You know, hasn't been a superstar by any means, but he's been getting the job done. A very serviceable player, also making that, I guess, shedding the skin of a quad A player slowly and slowly. I got to talk about Yoshi. I got to make my token mention of him, but picked up a few key walks in today's game. Very disciplined at the plate. He's been hitting consistently in games. And pitching wise, got to credit David Bednar going 2 days in a row. I was surprised. I did not think Derek Shelton would do that to one of his players, but he did. And Will Crow. I mean, I'm sure you got a lot of thoughts on him and players I mentioned, maybe some others, but Will Crow, I like him more as a reliever, and I hope we never see him in the starting rotation again, because this is, I don't know what Oscar Marin did to him, but it's working out for Will Crow now, especially when everybody was starting to give up on him. So all around, if the players that I've mentioned at least continue to do what they did this weekend, this Pirates team might surprise some people. And I know that's very risky to say nowadays, but I mean, they played their hearts out. They beat a top team. They split the series against Chicago in the middle of the week. So anything can happen, especially if these guys stay consistent. So that's just my takeaways from this weekend, especially on some individual performances.
I definitely do think that Michael Chavis, you brought him up. He needs to be getting more playing time. And the big thing that's kind of always hampered his ability is that he strikes out a ton. But 18 plate appearances this season, and he struck out for the first time today. So he's been getting the ball in play. He's been solid. I think maybe he's a utility guy. Maybe, I don't know. I'd like to see him as the everyday second baseman, and maybe you spell him at first base sometimes as well. I mean, looking at this team, I think we are getting to a point where, like obviously it's really early in the season, but we're getting to a point where some of these players are playing their way into everyday starting positions, and some players are playing themselves out of everyday starting positions. I think Chavis needs to be playing every day. I think Cole Tucker does not need to be playing every day. I think Diego Castillo needs to be playing every day. Even like Jake Mariznick, sneaky signing on opening day, pretty much, but he's been solid. He's with him, it's nice to kind of have like an adult in the room. A veteran player that has won, has been on really great teams. And you look at, I mentioned the defense, I mean the outfield defense. If you have Reynolds in center, Mariznick in left, and Ben Gamel in right field, that is a really, really solid outfield defense. And then say Hayes at third base, I have no problem saying that Ke'Bryan Hayes is the best defensive third baseman in Major League Baseball. Kevin Newman's pretty solid at shortstop until Cruz is ready. Perhaps you put Chavis at second or Diego Castillo, or maybe you put Diego Castillo at short instead of Newman. I'd be fine with that. And then of course at first base and DH, you kind of have the combination of Yoshi, Vogelbach, and Chavis as well, with Perez catching. That's a solid defense behind a pretty shaky pitching staff, but there are some players that you know, Cole Tucker, again, I keep harping on it, but I don't really need to see him play much more. He's solid defensively, and he actually did start the rally today to get the comeback started in that seventh inning. But, I mean, he's solid at everything except the most important thing, which is hitting. So I don't really need to see him starting that much. Same with Van Meter, same with Hoy Park. I mean, they're just bench guys. They just are. That's how I see them. But overall, really encouraging weekend and week in general. And on the position player side of things, things are starting to – they're starting to form. They're starting to mesh a little bit. And, you know, with Reynolds and Hayes as your two main drivers of offense – I think that's a solid foundation. Hayes has been great when playing. Reynolds he's getting there. He has two home runs to lead the team, but they're solid. And then whenever you factor in Vogelbach gets on base, Castillo looks to be solid with the bat. Chavis is doing really well to start the year. Mariznick has even put together some solid at bats. The offense might be all right, and I think the defense is solid. So the position players are solid for sure. On the pitching side of things, Will Crow, awesome. Bednar, awesome. Roansy Contreras. He was awesome Thursday night against the Nationals. He went, three innings and had five strikeouts? He looked really great. I wouldn't mind just sticking him in the starting rotation like they probably should have at the beginning of the year. But he looked great. Stratton's fine. The back end of the bullpen is pretty solid. I guess we could talk about our buddy Mitch Keller, though. Just put it on me now. Give me the I told you so's. I fell for the spring training mirage.
I'm not gonna gloat and say I told you so, because everybody had rightful reason to believe that Mitch Keller was a new and improved guy, given all the improvements he made in the offseason. It's just, I don't know about you, but I can't pinpoint exactly what's wrong with him. Like, yeah, location's a big thing, but like, it just doesn't make any sense to me how you can just decimate the competition in spring training, look like a completely new person, and then come in the regular season and say, oh, the only glowing attribute to me is that I added maybe 2 to 3 miles per hour on my fastball. And like, and there are people out there that will sort of pick apart Mitch Keller and bring out the positives. And like, they'll really dive deep and say, you know, I'm trying to think of one, but it's like, oh, well, he got maybe like so-and-so of a whiff rate this inning. And like, he'll just, you know, go out, you know, they'll say that he can be good. And I'm just like, I don't see it. You can't be a spring training Cy Young. You got to perform in the regular season. That's the name of the game. And I mean, could he be possibly, and this is just me speculating, I guess, trying to not be so cynical when it comes to a human being playing sport. But is it possible that maybe he could be another Will Crow, where a transition to a full-time bullpen role might service him a little bit better than being in the starting rotation? Because you talk about Roansy Contreras and how he deserves to be in the starting rotation, and I'm 100% behind that. And listen, I would love to see Mitch Keller get taken out of the starting rotation and let Roansy Contreras get a little bit of time to shine. And with the way Derek Shelton has been managing his bullpen lately, he's been going, you know, multi-inning relievers out of the pen, obviously Will Crow and Roansy getting three inning looks here and there. Mitch Keller could be that guy. Maybe you put him in the middle to late innings and he actually shines like he's supposed to. It's just maybe starting out of the gate, he's not that good. And I wish that maybe Shelton and Charrington would get together and maybe explore this option a little bit and maybe not give up on Keller so quickly. And I feel like I'm actually surprised that more people haven't suggested this, because it seems a little too logical to,
yeah,
I guess, possibly come true. But I mean, give him a shot. If he's clearly struggling in the starting rotation, and Will Crow proved to be the guinea pig that turned out to be harmless or not harmed from the experiment, give him a shot. And if he doesn't work in the bullpen, then that's when maybe you start to cut the cord and get, you know, cut the ties and tell Mitch, hey, maybe you can make it better off somewhere else, or maybe you can go to, you know, Japan or Korea for a season, maybe like a Nick Kingham or a Cody Ponce, and maybe find your footing again and maybe try your luck going forward. But I don't know why they keep trotting him out there and leaving guys like Rowanzi Contreras in the bullpen, or maybe even younger arms like Cody Bolton in AAA, who, you know, give him a shot. I don't know. But I'm not going to sit here and say I told you so. I'm going to try to find the gold during the positive times, gold through the dirt, positive times. And I don't want to say make an excuse for him, but maybe just take another way of thinking instead of just saying, oh, Mitch Keller is ass, we don't want him anymore. Like, I'm trying to turn a new leaf here, Nathan, especially now that we're on the winning side of things.
I'm going to make excuses for him real quick, because I know I did tweet about it. I said, I want to see him in the bullpen, and I'm done. I said, I'm done. And I am kind of done with him starting, but you know, I pulled up the old fan graphs just now, and classically enough, obviously he's only pitched 7.2 innings. So super small sample size, but you look at it, he's got a 9.39 ERA. His expected ERA, 3.38. So classically, Mitch Keller's peripherals are better than what he's shown, and he has been getting kind of BABIPed to death. His BABIP against is 444. So balls in play are falling on him. So I'm going to retract my tweet statement and say, give him a few more starts to see. But if we're two starts and we're two more starts away having the same conversation, honestly, his leash just might be one more bad start. But yes, no, I definitely do think that he can be another Will Crow. And the Pirates have a chance here. If they want, they can kind of experiment with who should be the starter and who should be the piggybacker, because Ronzi has been coming out of the pen and, you know, being the second end of the piggyback and has been solid, but he could start. The only person I don't want to see start at all is Will Crow, because him out of the bullpen has been a really great thing. 9 2/3 innings of scoreless baseball. He needs to stay in the bullpen. Don't want to see him start at all. But who's to say, like, why can't Miguel Yajure get a start here and there, even though he hasn't really looked good? Or Dylan Peters, who really hasn't looked that great either, although he hasn't allowed a run yet. Why can't they get a start? I definitely want to see Zach Thompson stay in the rotation for sure. But, you know, whether it's Bryce Wilson, JT Brubaker, Jose Quintana, Yajure, Peters, Keller, any one of those guys could be the starter, and the other one could be the second starter of the game. It really doesn't matter to me. And I wouldn't mind seeing the Pirates kind of mix and match more often and give some of the quote-unquote long relief bullpen guys some opportunities to start and be the first pitcher of the game. And, yeah, you look at AAA, there are other guys like Chase DeYoung, who was a part of the no-hitter this past week. Mm. And you mentioned Cody Bolton. He's someone that we'll probably see this season as well. They got Jared Eichhoff down there. He hasn't been really good at all. But, you know, that they have a whole bunch of bodies that they could throw out there. So it's nothing set in stone, especially with this team on the pitching side. And there is no certified ace by any means, but yeah, I would I'm down to give Keller a few more starts. I'm not gonna rip the band-aid off quite yet, but yeah, we're getting there to the point where perhaps he could be Will Crow 2.0, and that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. He definitely has better stuff than Will Crow, and Crow has been awesome, but Keller throws faster and probably has better breaking stuff, although Crow's changeup has just been filthy. That's where Crow has an advantage over Keller, because Keller's changeup kind of sucks. But, yeah, as far as the pitching staff goes, seems like the Pirates' whole strategy right now is just they're just trying to piece together nine innings as best they can. But I think they could get a little more creative in how they piece those nine innings together.
Yeah, and I'm going to admit right now, I always forget that Miguel Yajuri is part of the team. No doubting on his ability. It's just with his timetable being injured and lack of use, I would say, it's kind of hard to remember him sometimes. But I agree. I think by midseason, you'll see Miguel Yajuri and Rowanzi Contreras. Now, this is staying on the same path that we're going on. I think they would replace possibly JT Brubaker and Mitch Keller midway through the season in the starting rotation. And those two, well, Keller definitely would flip to the bullpen. Brubaker, I don't know what the hell they'd do with him. I'm getting tired of seeing him day in and day out, but maybe they give him a shot out there. Maybe just sort of shake up that piece at least. I'm with you on Zach Thompson. When I was at the game on Wednesday, guy looked solid against the Cubs. Just gave up a mistake pitch to Wilson Contreras, but I mean, you're going to get that sometimes. Other than that, he looked perfect. Dylan Peters, I think, is more of a mainstay in the piggyback role in the bullpen. He's not, to me, he doesn't have any starter material, at least from what I've seen. Like, I've been an advocate for Peters since last year, since we got him, just because he's been useful, I would say. He hasn't been, lights out by any means, but he's been pretty good for what we all thought he would be. And yeah, don't touch Will Crow. I don't know. Yeah. Like I said, I don't know what the hell Oscar Maron did with him. That changeup of his is becoming nasty. It's kind of like Ricky Vaughn's dark ball. I think it was. Wasn't that the name of it in Major League? But he's
Terminator.
The Terminator. That's right.
No, I don't know. that was one of his.
I think you're right. I think I got that mixed up. But yeah, there's. I think. Barring any major setbacks, I think Yajuri and Contreras could find themselves into the Pirates rotation come midseason, unless the Pirates are clear that they don't want to win again and they just send them both down or something. I don't know. But boy, you say Chase DeYoung. I don't know how to feel about that. Yeah, he was part of a combined no hitter at the AAA level, but
he's just another name.
He is one name. Yes. The other two, Yerry De Los Santos and, ooh, Austin Bryce. Oh, God. Why is it the ones that sucked so bad in spring training and maybe the young who sucked with the Pirates in his first go-around, they combined for a no-hitter? I don't know. I have no faith in Chase DeYoung. I hated him last year. I hate him now. I would never want to see him back in Pittsburgh again.
Yeah, I think we will at some point.
That's the saddest part of it all.
Let me ask you this, because I'm looking at the list of pitchers right now, and I'm kind of in my head doing a power rankings of like my confidence rating in this pitcher as a starter. And I mean, I hate to say it, but like it's really bad. It is really bad because I look at it. Number one, most confident I am in them being a starter or having the ability to be a starting pitcher. Probably Rowanzi Contreras. After that, number two, probably Zach Thompson. And he's only pitched four innings, and he gave up two runs, and he wasn't, like, that great. And he had to leave a little early because he got hit by a line drive or a grounder or whatever it was. But he's number two just purely on the wonder of maybe he can be good. And he was solid with Miami last season. So he's number two. Number three, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's probably Mitch Keller still. It really is. Because, if you ask me to pick between Mitch Keller and Bryce Wilson, I'm taking Keller. I'm taking Keller over Brubaker. I'm taking Keller over Jose Quintana, who looked pretty meh today, although he was solid in the home opener. But I'd rather have Keller four. I don't know. After that, it's really bad. It falls off a cliff if it doesn't fall off a cliff after one. It's tough right now. The starting rotation is probably easily the worst in baseball, if I had to guess. Honestly, it's that bad. But I don't know. It's weird because those same pitchers, if you stick them in the bullpen, they'll probably be pretty solid. It's funny. It's like the whole pitching rotation is at this point, the whole rotation is just one giant bullpen. And I don't know. So I still want to see Mitch Keller get some starts. That's where I'm at. Still. I know.
Well,
I know, but I still do.
Yeah, I get you there with Keller, and I'm in the same boat too. and I this could be just false hope in me, but in terms of power rankings and in terms of pitchers, I'll agree, worst in baseball, walking revolving door bullpen. But obviously Rowanci, I think that will take anybody's number one spot. Hype around him, the way he's performed. I mean, the way he attacked Juan Soto and his stupid Soto shuffle. God, I hate that so much.
Really? I kind of like it.
I think it's the dumbest thing in baseball. The guy gets around by freaking doing a little shuffle at the plate, and then Rowanci Contreras just blanks him. I think it's funny as hell. But Rowanci number one, Thompson number two, I'll agree with. But I got Quintana at three. I mean, he's not the greatest in the world. But considering he actually he dominated in his first start, and if he would have had some offensive help, he would have walked away in his Pirates debut with a dub. But unfortunately, that's not the case. He's 0-2 via shenanigans. Yeah, today he didn't look the greatest, but I don't know what to say about that other than I think that was just a rough start from him. Overall, I think he's looked pretty good in a Pirates uniform. Then I think it would go Keller. Now you're getting into gray territory with me because I don't want to give it to Bryce Wilson, but I sure as hell don't want to give it to JT Brubaker. I'll give it to Bryce Wilson. Brubaker has been in this rotation enough to try and prove himself. He just hasn't. Bryce Wilson is still fresh or fairly new to the Pirates system. I would say if it's midseason and he still sucks the way he does, he's going to go lower in my list. And I would honestly bump up Yajiri if he gets a starting nod. See, that's the thing.
Yeah, I'd like to see him get some starts.
You know, with this revolving door, it's hard to tell who's at the bottom or mid or bottom of your list, but I agree with Rowanci and Thompson. I'd place Quintana a little bit higher and then Keller below him. But, yeah, that's – like when you're judging the worst rotation in baseball and you look at the numbers, it's pretty hard to do. So, I mean, anyone can pretty much – I would say Contreras and Thompson have everybody's 1-2. And if they don't – you're lying. So I think midseason we'd get a better shape of who our power rankings are in pitchers. But yeah, as far as the season goes, I would say that's a fair assumption for all of them.
Yeah, and just to confirm it, I'm looking at Fangraphs right now before today's games is how updated this is. But as far as starting rotations go, the Pirates as a unit have a minus 0.3 war for their starters. And the next worst is 0.0, and that's the Arizona Diamondbacks, and it's also the Boston Red Sox, and, you know, there's a few other teams that, whatever, who cares. But, yeah, the Pirates, their rotation is it's rough. It is. But on the flip side, their bullpen is 16th in total F war. So, pretty average bullpen, I guess, with a really bad starting rotation. The pitching is going to struggle. So that just makes the defense and hitting of this team all that more important. And we'll see. We'll see how that kind of goes on further in the season. And, yeah, you do hold on hope that Mitch Keller can figure it out and Rowanci can maybe get some starts, and guys like Thompson, Quintana, and Wilson can eat innings. But whenever that's like the best case scenario of what your starting rotation is, that's probably not the greatest thing. But Pirates are over 500 right now, so I'm not going to be too gloomy. So yep. Let's look ahead a little bit here to the schedule. And the Pirates are playing – they're playing – a tough matchup next three games. They will be at Milwaukee, playing the Brewers, of course. And I'm just looking at the pitching matchups. It's Zach Thompson will get the start tomorrow at Milwaukee, and he'll be facing off against Eric Lauer, who only one start this year. He went 4 1/3, gave up 3 earned, so I think that's another lefty. Yeah, it's another lefty. So I will say this too. I think I mentioned it on the last podcast, but the Pirates against left-handed starters, I like that lineup a lot because obviously Hayes crushes lefties, Chavis crushes lefties. They got some lefty killers on this team. So I think the Pirates might have a chance to win tomorrow. The two games after that, though, are going to be tough. We got JT Brubaker against the reigning Cy Young Award winner, Corbin Burnes. And Burnes has pitched 12 innings this year, only given up 3 total runs. That is a tough matchup for the Pirates. And then on Wednesday, we got our buddy Mitch Keller against the number 2 starter for the Brewers, Brandon Woodruff. And Woodruff has struggled. 8 2/3 innings pitched this year. He's given up 7 runs, 4 strikeouts, 4 walks. So he hasn't been great. So maybe, who knows, the Pirates maybe can string together a win or two in this series. I think they'll win 1 game in this series. I don't know what you're thinking.
Well, we faced Corbin today, and we did okay against him. I think now that we're finally, we finally know what to expect from left-handed pitchers, I think we're going to do really well against Lauer tomorrow. Thompson will have another solid outing. I say we win that. We'll agree there. We'll also agree that Brubaker is going to shit the bed against Corbin Burnes. and I was trying to find a glimmer of hope in that, but I just can't. I mean, Burnes is going to torch us. Luckily, about tomorrow, we'll have a full, healthy roster. We'll have Hayes and Reynolds probably back.
Yeah, they'll be playing.
That'll be a big boost. My big thing is Wednesday. I'm actually going to do something that I don't do, and that's be a little optimistic on Mitch Keller. I mean, we're riding a hot streak right now. Keller has had 2 poor outings. He knows that this is starting to be do-or-die time for his career, and what a time it would be against the Brewers, who are currently first in the NL Central.
I think the Brewers have the same record as the Pirates. I think the Cardinals.
Oh, did I read that wrong? I might have.
Yeah, well. Oh, no, the Brewers are actually worse than the Pirates. The Brewers are 5-5 currently. That's funny.
Oh. No, I did read that wrong then. But either way.
They're better.
Yeah, they're on paper. They are much better than the Pirates. But I'm going to give Mitch Keller the benefit of the doubt. I say with everything warranting around him and the past two starts he's had in the back of his head, he's going to go out there. He's going to fire. He's going to look like the spring training Mitch Keller. Okay. And I think we're going to see something a little bit different than what we saw over the past 2 appearances by him. So I'm going to say that we're going to take this series 2-1. If we sweep, I will shit a brick. I wonder when that time will be. But then we got Chicago for 4 games. That's going to be something interesting. They're the same record as us in the Central right now.
Yes.
That's at Wrigley Field, so who knows what's going to happen. But I definitely think we'll take 2 or 3 from the Brewers. Hopefully that comes true, and hopefully Mitch Keller looks like the guy who we were promised at the beginning of the season.
Honestly, betting odds-wise, I'm trying to think about it. Like, Brubaker against Corbin Burnes, the Pirates, and the Pirates being on the road, they might be, plus 300 money line underdogs in that game, I swear. Maybe not that high, but they'll definitely be at least plus 200, maybe plus 240 if I had to guess. And that's going to be a tough one. Let me ask you this, though. Next 10 games, the Pirates play the Brewers for 3, at the Cubs for 4, and then they come home and play the Brewers for 3 more. Realistically, how many wins do you think they could pull out?
3, 3, and 4 equivalents to 10. I would say that we're good. I would say maybe half of those. I'm going to say we go 50% of the 50 wins.
That's optimistic. I'll tell you that much. That is really optimistic. I'd be happy if they could get 4. I'd be probably ecstatic if they pulled out 4 wins out of those 10 games. I do think that they could do some damage against the Cubs because I don't think the Cubs are very good. But at the same time, I would not be surprised at all if the Brewers won all 6 games against the Pirates over these next 10 games. I hope that doesn't happen, but that wouldn't surprise me. I'm hoping that the Pirates can pull out 4 wins in their next 10. We'll see, though. We'll see. And that pretty much rounds out the month. That'll take us to April 28th, and then to end the month, they host San Diego. So kudos to the Pirates for pulling out some wins in these early games, in these winnable games against teams that aren't great. I don't think Washington's very good. I think they're probably going to finish last in their division this year, and I already said how I feel about the Cubs. They're not very good either. But 4-2 on the homestand. What else can you ask for? I think good teams would be happy with 4-2 on a homestand. 5-4 right now. I mean, that's a 90 win pace, something like that. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. We could kind of wrap things up here. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we sign off?
Maybe just a few things, and that's in the minor league level of things. Right now, that Jacob Stallings trade is looking fantastic. Kyle Nicholas and Connor Scott crushing it in Double A, and obviously Zach Thompson in the major league level. It's looking pretty good, and with Stallings kind of struggling here in the early part of the season, I would say that we're starting to win that. Mason Martin and Cal Mitchell, they're making a strong case to be promoted at some point soon. Especially with Martin, considering he had a big strikeout problem, but he's tearing it up in AAA right now. And Cal Mitchell, he, I think, leads the Indians in home runs right now. So for those listening, keep them on your radar. Expect them to be up soon. Not maybe like in the near future, but definitely on pace. If they keep performing the way they are, they'll be up too. Trying to think what else. Anthony Alford's beginning his rehab assignment in low A. Keep him there. We don't need him. Don't want him. You can DFA him and get him out of here. So that's what I'll leave off on. And hopefully we bring more wins. That's all I want, more wins.
Yeah, we could use a few more wins. O'Neill Cruz is struggling a little bit in AAA, but, you know, 30 at-bats. I'm not worried quite yet. Travis Swaggerty also struggling. Yeah, but Mason Martin, he looks solid. A few home runs. He's hitting well over 300. Striking out less, still striking out a lot, but striking out less. Yeah, looking a little bit further down, Leiver Peguero, two home runs, including a missile the other day on like a high fastball that he just got on top of and hit a line drive out to left field. Nick Gonzalez, not hitting great, but he's getting on base. He's taking his walks. He has 9 walks already on the season, so you like to see that. You mentioned Connor Scott looking really good on the pitching side at Double A. Let's see how our buddy Quinn Priester is doing. He's in Double A, correct? Is he in Double A or is he in Single A? Oh. Kyle Nicholas, though, you mentioned him. He looked really solid. Let me see here. Quinn, is he hurt right now? I don't know. I can't find anything on Quinn Priester at the moment. But at Single A, Jared Jones, awesome. He's a name to look out for. Michael Burrows has been solid, too. I think he's in Double A. Still has not given up a run in 8 innings. So, yeah, once a few more games get under the belt, we could kind of dive in on what's going on in the minor leagues. I still think these players are kind of getting their feet wet, although they have played the same amount of games as the major league players that we are severely judging. So I guess, I mean, we'll get into it more though later. Jake, any last thoughts before we get out of here? I think we may have lost Jake here. I'm getting him back on here. Jake, you with us?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yep, gotcha.
I don't know what happened there. No, my only parting words were, let's go Bucks, bring some wins home. Let's show the NL Central that we can step up to the competition and we're not just a doormat. So that's it.
For sure. Third place Bucks. That's the goal. That is the goal. And, yeah, we'll be back after the Brewers series, so probably going to record on Wednesday. Might have that out Wednesday afternoon, considering it is a day game, maybe Wednesday evening. But we'll be back then for episode 60. That's exciting. Jake, give us the Twitter.
The Twitter is @_RadioJake.
Awesome. Follow me on Twitter as well, @Nathan_Hirsch. HURSH. And of course, follow Bucks Dugout on Twitter. at Bucks Dugout. Got some awesome reading for you over there. If you're into that type of thing, if you know how to read, meme, it's tough sometimes, but got some good stuff there. All right, Jake, thank you as always, and we'll talk later this week.
Yes, sir. We'll talk later this week.
All right. Peace out, everyone. Have a great day.